All right, take your Bibles then. Turn with me to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, we're talking about the mystery. We've been talking now for several weeks about unlocking the mystery. Paul writes about the mystery of the gospel of grace in this third chapter of Ephesians. And he brings it out in a way that really it had never been brought to men before. This was a revelation that God had put into Paul's heart that he now brings to all people. And really it's summed up and defined for us a little bit there in chapter 3 and verse number 6, where he says, this is what this mystery is, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. That this mystery now is that all are invited in to the body of Christ. That if we will accept Christ as our Savior, there are no longer boundaries for any person that puts their faith in Christ. They are brought into the kingdom. That's the gospel of grace in a nutshell. It's not by works. The Jews had come out of a very works-based mindset. Everything they did was surrounding their works. How well they kept the commands. If they obeyed, there would be blessing. If they disobeyed, there would be curses. They've come out of that mindset. And so this gospel of grace, what Jesus came to bring into their lives was freedom from that. For now, Ephesians 2 and 8 tells us that now we come, and it's grace, and it's through faith in Christ, and it's not by works, lest any person should boast. Okay, so he comes to share that with them. This is what Jesus accomplished. But for the Gentiles, who were not even a people and who were considered unregenerate without God, for the Gentiles now, they also are offered a path to the kingdom of God through Christ. And so in Christ Jesus, the two, Jew and Gentile, are brought by faith to one body. That's the mystery. I talked to you last week about the mystery of two. And I kind of brought that up to you just a little bit. That's really how two can become one in Christ. How men can be truly reconciled to God. And the two can become one, and that is in Christ. How a people, not really even considered a people, the Gentiles, can be brought into Christ. That's the mystery of this gospel. How two can come together and become one. This is where our unity is found. The unity of the church is not found in uniformity of belief. Unity in the church is found only in Christ. So you need to understand that. And so we've taken this journey, and just quickly to say this, because I've said this every week, but Ephesians 2 and 8, when we talked about it's by grace through faith that you come to know Christ, we see that this is the path now. God has sent his Son. Jesus is the door. He says that. He said, I'm the door of the sheep. No man can enter but through me. Okay, so Jesus is the door. The path that leads us now to the kingdom of God through Christ is called grace. God extends grace and says, you now can come. Even though you're not worthy, you can come. But you have to come my way. You have to come through my door, which is Christ. And then it's by faith now. The key that unlocks this is faith in Christ. And when we put faith in Christ, having come down the path of grace, the door opens and we can walk into the kingdom of God. And as we walk into the kingdom of God, the finishing work of the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. So the door is now open. And so we've kind of focused after that on the concept of now we must understand that we are welcome into the kingdom. And we are going to talk about, we're going to build on this a little bit, because now that we are in the kingdom through Christ, and we've placed faith in Christ, that measure of faith that God's given to each one of us, we've placed that in Christ, the door has been opened now, we've come in through Christ, we are made one, reconciled to God. Now, he says, welcome to the kingdom, and Paul begins to write, and as he starts this journey about verse 7, we begin to discover what is in the kingdom that we are now a part of. And as we walk in, what we discover, this new creature that the Holy Spirit now is working in, and working through and finishing and completing and preparing us. Now, and if you need caught up on that, you'll have to just go listen to the audios, because I go more into depth than that in the previous week. So you can look that up. I don't want to bog down there. But here's what the Spirit begins to reveal to us and reveal in us in the kingdom. First of all, in the kingdom, this mystery that has now been unlocked, we discover there is effective working power now. Now, because of what Christ has accomplished and because of what the Spirit is doing within us, we discover that there is an effective working power that is alive in us. It's effective now. Life can become effective. Of which I became a minister, verse 7, according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of His power. You don't find that outside the kingdom. You don't find that outside of Christ. Outside of Christ, there is no effective working power. Your willpower is not effectively working. Your ability to be good enough is not effectively working. Your making decisions outside of Christ is not effective. Anybody ever discovered that? You ever discover it's not real effective when you're outside of Christ? But when you are in the kingdom and the Holy Spirit is completing this work in you and moving in you, you discover an effective working power. Not only that, but in the kingdom, there are unsearchable riches. Verse 8, He told us, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That means that in the kingdom, there is a never-ending search of the blessings of God. There is always more for you when you are in the kingdom. Amen. You never reach the end. It's unsearchable riches. And outside of Christ, you don't have those. But in Christ, as you come in through that path of grace and in the door of Christ by faith, you've placed your faith in Christ, and now the door is swung open. And as you walk in, the Spirit of God now is finishing the work Christ has accomplished in you. And you begin to discover, wow, there are unsearchable riches. There's deeper depths and higher heights and greater glories. And we go from faith to faith. We keep walking and we keep growing and we keep moving. And that is found. That's a promise of the kingdom. That's a blessing of the kingdom. And then we discover that all of this in verse 9, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery. So now, here's the fellowship of it. That from the beginning of the ages, this has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ. This has been hidden all this time. It's only found in God through Christ. So this kingdom is the kingdom of God. There's effective working. There's unsearchable riches. And it's all hidden in fellowship with Him. So as you continue in fellowship with Him, these things begin to open up. So it tells us the importance of fellowship through Christ. Tells us the importance of connecting together, because there's hidden things connected to fellowship. That's why Christians that say, well, I can be a Christian without going to church, I understand what they're saying. But you miss the hidden things that are hidden in God through Christ. That's the mystery of the fellowship. How many have ever realized that when you come together with brothers and sisters in Christ and you come together with the body of Christ, there are hidden things that can be revealed? There are blessings there that you can't find on your own, because this is a kingdom of fellowship. Amen? And the fellowship is not about if I agree with you and you agree with me. The fellowship is in Christ. The unity is hidden in Christ. And so the deeper we go in Christ, the more unsearchable riches we find, the more effective working power begins to take place in our life. And then we finished up last week in verse 10, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Okay? So we stopped there last week. The manifold wisdom, the infinite variety of God is now on display. This is a promise of the kingdom. And let me just break this down for you just a little bit. That word manifold. study that word out. And as you study that word out in the Greek, that word is, y'all ready for this? Polupoikilos. Okay, that's the word in pronunciation. Now, I'm sure that's not, if you're just talking Greek to one another, in this ancient Greek, you would say it differently than that, but that's the pronunciation. Polupoikilos. Okay? And what that means is, the first part of that word, polis, means much. Okay? And then the poikilos means diverse or various, multicolored, multifarious, greatly diversified, abounding in variety. So this word is that to the intent that now the much diversified, that manifold, that variety of wisdom of God might be made known by who? Who's it say? By who? Who makes that known? The church. Look at it. To the intent that now that manifold wisdom, that means the much various, diversified wisdom, that means wisdom for any moment. Answers for any issues. The solving of any problem. The manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. Now watch this. Who are we making this wisdom known to? Are we making this wisdom known to our friends and family as we share the gospel? Is that what that says? It's not what it says, is it? It doesn't say that we are making this manifold wisdom of God known to the people we run into, the friends. Who's it say we make this known to? The principalities and powers in heavenly places. This is a warfare word. Come on now. Have you ever felt like you've been in spiritual battles? Do you know that in the kingdom, the body of Christ has the promise of the manifold wisdom of God that now courses through the body of Christ? That's us. And as that comes through us, now we make that known to the principalities and the powers that are in heavenly places. We don't just sit back and take what the enemy throws at us. We reveal to him we have God's wisdom on this. We have God's help. We have God's answers. I am not defenseless to the attacks of the enemy. Neither are you. And when we come together as the church, as the body, we are powerful because now, not only is it just the wisdom that God courses through me and that I'm able to see, but it is now the body manifests the wisdom of God. And we reveal that to our adversary. Amen. See, that's a promise of the kingdom. And I'm not sure that we grasp this. But this is powerful. And when I read through that as I was studying this, and it really began to hit me that we make this wisdom of God known to our adversaries. Because in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul writes, and he says in chapter 6, and around verse 12, he says, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but with powers and principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen? So this is warfare. So in the kingdom, there is success for warfare. And it is bound up in the church, and it is revealed by God, and it is that God gives the answer to every fight in his way. That's what grace offers us. Grace to be in the kingdom says you've got victory in every fight because God will reveal his wisdom into what you need in that moment, in that time. And it may not be like it came last time, but it may be different this time because it's the variety of God's wisdom, but it is always victorious. Amen. That's pretty powerful now. If we will hear that becomes strong. Now, turn over with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Robert made me beat me there. No, I beat him. 1 Peter chapter 4. I won the scripture scramble. If you weren't raised in church, you have no idea what that's about. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Here's what it says. And as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As each one has received a gift. I mean, God gives each of us gifts through His Spirit. We have the gifts of the Spirit that the Bible talks about. But we also have gifts that we bring just as humans we bring, that we're gifted in certain areas. And as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. What that means is serve one another with that gift. Use that gift on behalf of one another. That's the church at work. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. See, when you hear this, because we are in the kingdom, when you don't have the answer to your battle, bring it to the body. Because God's varying grace, there is someone in the body that is gifted for that moment. And it's wisdom that comes from God. That's why we're not supposed to fight battles ourselves. We're not supposed to live in isolation and fight in isolation. When we come together as a church, remember, two have become one. That's the mystery. You and I are now connected to the body of Christ together. The church body is now one through Christ. The people and Christ are now one. And so now there is power there. No wonder the word says, you know, one will send, what is it, 1,000 to flight. Two will send 10,000. Whatever you need is found when we come together, because the manifold wisdom of God has given gifts of God, of the various grace of God in the body. Okay? Now, but we're not done. Look at verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. According to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal purpose. Hear this, because this is the important thing. Accomplished. Did you hear that? Eternal purpose accomplished. Turn to someone and say, it's finished. Eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if we are in Christ, we are in the kingdom, then His eternal purpose has been accomplished, because it's accomplished in Christ. So that means your eternal purpose has been accomplished in Christ. So it is only in Christ that that purpose can be manifest. It's only through Christ, it's only being in Christ, that you can find that eternal purpose that God has already finished. You need to hear that. No wonder Jesus cried out on the cross, it is finished. Sin, the punishment for sin was finished. The sacrifice was finished. But the eternal purpose of every believer was finished. Hear that. Eternal purpose has been accomplished. This is in the kingdom. Now, you only find this if you're in Christ. You only find this as you walk through Christ. But when we come together, how many realize you have been created for eternal purposes? There are purposes in your life that you are made for. There are moments that you have been prepared for. And those moments have already been accomplished on your behalf in Christ. And now all you have to do is walk in this mystery of grace, seeking the manifold wisdom of God in that moment, and knowing my purpose has already been accomplished. I'm here for a reason. Amen. How many, you know, we hear people say it all the time. People say all the time, well, I was just born in the wrong time. Anybody ever heard that? Probably said that. I was just born in the wrong time. I should have been born in a didn't. No, you were born in the right time, because you were born to fulfill a purpose right now. And that purpose has already been accomplished in Christ. It's an eternal purpose, and it's already accomplished, but you only find it in the kingdom. Kingdom. The mystery is we are brought in to one with Christ, reconciled to the Father. We are now in the kingdom. Even though we still live in the world, within us dwells the kingdom of God. Amen. And it's not perfected because we still live in flesh. And the kingdom of God is not perfected on this earth. Flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God is already alive within us. Because Jesus said, you tell them, the kingdom of God is here. Because I'm here. Where the king is, that's the kingdom. And Jesus is with us, right? And so there's eternal purpose, and it's accomplished in Christ. And so you need to understand this. You have a reason to live, and the reason has already been accomplished, but you just have to stay in Christ. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. Don't set your eyes on things of the earth, but things above. Looking to see him as he comes, so that you can be like him. Amen. See, we need to understand this. It's in him we find eternal purpose, and it's in him we find out that he accomplished it. Therefore, it's not me that has to do it. Have you ever been intimidated by a purpose that you feel like maybe God has for you, but you don't feel capable of it? Amen. You don't have to do it. It's already accomplished in Christ. All you have to do is stay in Christ. That's why when God calls us to do something and we say we can't do it, we are calling God a liar. Amen. I know you've probably said that. I've said that. But the reality is, when we make those statements and God's called us to do it, we're calling God a liar. Moses said, oh, I can't do that, Lord. I don't talk well. I have a problem with my speech. I can't do that. He was saying, God, you got the wrong guy. God, know that? No, but God had a purpose for him. It was an eternal purpose, and it had already been fulfilled. All he had to do was walk into the presence of the Father. Amen. And when he did that, God would use him. Eternal purpose is accomplished. This is the kingdom that we are living in. But here's the next phrase. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Okay? Now, we have access. And we'll pull this together at the end. Access in confidence. Oh, that's a big word. Access in confidence. With confidence, I should say. Access with confidence. How many know confidence is a big word for us? How many of you feel confident in the presence of God? Right? But here's what this says. We've been given access. Now, I looked that word up. That word, access, is this. To bring near. The term was commonly used for the audience or right of approach granted to someone by high officials and monarchs. The term access is used here in the absolute sense. And what it means is a king would grant you to approach him, not because of your merits, but because of his grace. No wonder Hebrews says, come boldly before the throne of grace and make your petitions known. Because the king has given us access. The king has said, come on in. You're a part of the kingdom. And so being a part of the kingdom means you have access. So have access in confidence. Come on in and have faith. Come before me confidently, the Lord says. Come boldly. Make your petitions known. Ask Esther when she went before the king that she was married to. When she went before him, if you came before the king and you were not summoned, and you came before the king, you could have been killed. And the only way you would not be killed is if the king would stretch his scepter out and say, it's okay, I grant them access. See, we don't deserve to have access in this kingdom. We don't deserve to have access with confidence. But by faith in Christ, we can walk in boldly. And the scepter is laid out. And he says, come on, you've been granted permission. He says, welcome to the kingdom. In the kingdom, you're granted permission to ask. But he doesn't stop there. He also says, ask. Jesus said, Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it shall be opened. He says, which one of you, if your child, and you are just earthly people, which one of you, if your child asks for an egg, are you going to give them a scorpion? If they ask for bread, are you going to give them a stone? No, you're not going to do that. You being earthly father know how to give good gifts. How much more does your heavenly father desire to give good gifts? So you have access with confidence in this kingdom. Amen. And let's go one more. Verse 13. Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Let me. And now we may not shout over this one. You can't probably see that real well, but I'll tell it to you. Tribulations. I might want to write that with something you can't see anyway. Produce glory in this kingdom. Tribulations produce greater glory. The more you face, the more glory he receives. The more you go through, the greater the glory. Oh, come on now. The greater your anointing, the harder your fights. But the harder your fights, the greater the glory of what God is going to accomplish in you. I've heard preachers say it for years. Every new level brings out a new devil. There's tribulations. You're going to go through struggles. You're going to go through battles. And they're going to be hard. But Paul said, hey, don't lose heart. My tribulations are for you and it's for your glory. So tribulation produces glory in the kingdom. Amen. Come on, hardships produce blessings in the kingdom because God's glorified. They came to the man born blind. You remember that story, Jesus on the earth? They come to the man born blind and the disciples look at Jesus and they said, hey, who sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus said, neither of them. This is for the glory of God. Now, I'm sure the blind man sitting there, if he could hear him, he probably was saying, hey, I wasn't asked if I wanted to give this glory to God. I'm the one blind. Easy for you to say this is for the glory of God. But when Jesus healed him, he had something to give glory for. Come on now. The greater your struggles, the more glory you're going to give God. That's a kingdom principle. The more you're brought out of, the more you understand how great he is. The more you walk through, the more you understand what it means for him to walk with you. Anybody hear what I'm saying? That's the kingdom. The kingdom is full of mysteries. The kingdom is full of things that don't make sense in the natural because natural man can't handle it. So in the world, we look in the world and we say, well, there's not a lot of effective working. I can't make things happen the way, the more I try, the harder it seems to be sometimes. Well, the kingdom is a mystery. And the mystery is in the kingdom of God, there's effective working power. Even though in flesh you haven't found any. In the natural, we go after things we can attain. When we attain them, we know we have them. And then maybe we can retire from them. But the mystery in the kingdom is the riches are unsearchable. The depths never end. You never reach the ending point. In the natural, we pursue things that we see. In the kingdom, the mystery of the kingdom is the things we pursue are hidden in God. What is it Proverbs says? Proverbs said, it's the glory of God to hide a thing, and it's the glory of kings to reveal them. Amen. What was hidden in God, Christ revealed to us. It's the mystery of the kingdom. And in the kingdom, there's manifold wisdom. There's wisdom for every situation. It's a mystery, but it's there. There's eternal purpose, and it's already accomplished. All we do is rest. It's not about us. It's not about being good enough or better or learning more. The mystery in the kingdom is we have access where we don't belong, and we can be confident about it. Amen. Yeah, we got the backstage pass. And we don't deserve to be there. Amen. The greatest band playing of all time is playing, and it's like they've granted me backstage pass to warm up and sing with them. I don't deserve to be there. I can't carry a tune at all. But they say, come on, we want you to just come with us and do this, right? That we've got access, and we can come confidently even though we don't deserve it. And in the kingdom of God, the mystery is tribulations turn to glory. You know, you look in the Word, everywhere you look, the harder the devil fought, the greater the church became. Amen. You go through the book of Acts, the harder the enemy fought against them, the greater they became. You look in the life of Christ, the harder they would fight, the greater his glory would become, the greater the crowds would grow. Because in the kingdom, tribulations result in glory. Welcome to the kingdom. See, there's only one way in. There's only one door. There's only one path that takes you there. There's only one key that opens it. That's faith in Christ. And you got to come down the path of grace, and you got to get to the right door, which is Jesus. And when you put faith in Jesus, living on the path of grace, the door swings open. The Spirit now begins to finish the work in you and ushers you in to the kingdom. And the Spirit of God says, now watch, all of this is for you. This is what Paul's revealing to them. It's a mystery. And I'll close this series with this. The mystery now becomes, how do we live it out here? How do we live it out now? How do we live the mystery and all of these blessings? How do we live that out now? Verse 15, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I'm just going to give these to you. How do we live it out here? We are named in Christ. We are named. We live it out here by His name. Wherefore God, Philippians 2, 9 through 11, God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every name. Right? That at the mention of His name, every knee must bow. We are in Him. We are named in Him. His name is now our calling card. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 17, He said, in My name you will do these things. We've been given the authority of His name. How do we live it out here? We live it out by using and utilizing and living in and operating in the name of Christ. Jesus our Lord. Amen? Verse 16. We live it out here that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. He grants you strength with might through His Spirit. You are granted that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. We live it out here by the fact that He has given us strength with might through His Spirit. So His Spirit is the strength for us to live this out. Amen. Verse 17. Not only do we have the name, not only do we have the Spirit that is empowering us, but that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Christ dwells in our hearts through faith, and we are rooted and grounded in love. Love opens all of this to us, and we are rooted and grounded in faith. Verse 18 and 19, and that we would be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. So now, that we would comprehend the love of Christ that passes our knowledge, our reason, and be filled with all fullness. You live it out here by striving to become more full. His knowledge, beyond your knowledge. Don't lean on your own knowledge. The love of Christ opens up knowledge that you can't understand, but you can be filled with the fullness of it. Verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now we've tapped into the one, we're walking in the one that's able to do all things according to his power that works in us. See, all of this becomes open according to his power in us. The power of his spirit, the power of his love, faith that's unlocked it, the name of Christ. Amen. The knowledge that he gives us. The understanding, the wisdom that now is ours to operate in, it's all unlocked for us. And verse 21, he ends it, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. If we give him all the glory, he gives us all the kingdom. Amen. If you'll hear this, if you'll think on this, if you'll let your mind rest on this, the mystery of the gospel of grace reveals to you that you that were once far from God are brought into the kingdom through Christ. Not by works, lest you could boast, but only come by grace. And you only come through faith. You only can put faith in Christ. The door is open. The Spirit, finishing work of the Spirit now, wraps his arms around you and walks you through. And first thing he does is he reveals all this to you. This can all be yours. And then he says, and this is how it is all yours. I give you a name. Right? I give you the name that unlocks it all. I give you the strength to do it. I give you the fact that he dwells in you now, in your heart, through faith, in love. I give you the knowledge that passes human knowledge, and you can be filled with all fullness. I give you power that makes you capable to do anything. And if you'll give God glory, the kingdom is yours. How many want to live in the kingdom? And how many want to live in the kingdom now while we're waiting for a new body and a new earth, a new body, a new life to live with him forever in that new heaven, new earth, in that eternity? That's when the kingdom will be seen inward, outward, everywhere. But for now, that kingdom lives within us. Amen. And if we come together and we live together in unity through Christ, we find unstoppable power. It's a mystery, but it's unlocked through the promises of God. Stand to your feet with me. I hope that something in this, our time together over these few weeks, can capture your mind and your heart and stir you to believe God for more than you've ever seen. As Paul is revealing this, he would be persecuted everywhere he would go because of this mystery. Because he was saying radical things. He was inviting Gentiles into the promises that were just reserved for the Jew. But he said, no, they're in Christ. This kingdom has been open to all who believe. And for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. And would live in him. Amen. Let's pray.